We're all mentally ill here.
That's the start. I don't care.
Oh my god. All right, so this is Dumpster Delicacies first episode. First of hopefully many.
At least 10, minimum 10, baby. We're going to make it past the statistical drop-off point.
Yeah, well, I mean, it'll be easy, bro. We're just going to yap about music for God knows how long. hopefully we don't go into budget tangents.
Dude, low-key, I think this are like the best parts. We're just going like an incoherent tangent and just ended with, but yeah, I think this is my opinion. Like, it's just not like the most.
Yeah, like it's, you know, like just going on a full-blown tangent and stuff like that, giving someone life advice and, you know, all this sort of stuff. I'd be like, but I'm not a therapist.
Yeah.
Or tell them, you know, tell someone what stocks to buy into and all that sort of stuff. Give them like genuine financial advice and be like, but I'm not a financial advisor or anything.
Exactly. But I think that in this first one, then we should start with the introductions and also not lore story. I think we should be like the mangas, the like throw a character in there and then like don't release the backstory until like 100 chapters in. We just kind of forget about him. They go, oh, well, that's why.
You mean so, the lightning dude like in JJK?
Just... Yeah.
All right. No spoilers there for people, but yeah.
But essentially, I think the topic on this one, I think it's like starting with what's the mission and purpose of this, like, I guess, podcast is and what the philosophy of what music is to each individual. Because I think we have differing philosophies. Like, it's kind of similar, but it's also different at the same time.
What do you mean? In regards to what?
Like, I guess we'll get to that in a second. But my mission and purpose for this is to, I guess, bring more awareness into the ever-changing realm of music and how it just keeps growing.
Okay, fair, yeah.
And also to get more people to sign up to the list. I'm gonna be fully honest. You know, you gotta sign up to the list, man. It's much cooler in there. What about you?
Yeah.
What would you say your mission and purpose for this is?
Mission and purpose is, honestly, I think a bit of the same. Definitely is to get more people listening to electronic music, especially smaller artists. We've spoke about it many times, but a lot of the larger artists they're not really back at their roots. I mean, some are, but that's not where the money is, plain and simple. And so you appeal to the masses, you make things far more listenable for a larger population. And yeah, you make a lot of money, but it's a double-edged sword, right? You lose out on a very devoted fan base, people who listen to you for older music. Case in point, Tiësto. God bless his soul. I'm sure what he's making now is pulling in lots of money, but it's, to me, it's not Tiësto, man. It's Tiësto is Traffic. My bad. Well, quote unquote Tiësto, right? Because it's ghostwritten. Traffic Adagio for strings. That's what it's up to me. That is Tiësto. Some of his stuff now is decent, but anyways, I'm going a small tangent. That's the goal is to. There's a lot of smaller artists out there that make incredible music. And
I won't copy strike you.
They make a lot of incredible music, but it gets lost under a lot of this mainstream stuff. A lot of this stuff that appeals to the masses. And you can't really find your niche or anything like that there. And you're missing out on a lot of great sounds. So I think being able to push that and get smaller artists out there is a philosophy I've had for quite a while, actually. And yeah, I mean, we're definitely going to talk about larger artists and more popular releases and stuff like that, but you're going to expect to at least hear quite a bit about smaller artists who have maybe less than 100,000 monthly Spotify listeners. Maybe less than 50,000, maybe less than 5,000. You might find some of like just under 10.
The way you find those is insane. Like, you tell it that you send me this one dude, there's like two listeners. I'm like, where the fuck did you find this?
Yeah, I mean, if you just have shuffle on, you just go eventually, it'll pop up. But I mean, yeah, I have a whole thing where they just deep dive related artists after related artists after related artists, and soon you're like 20 related artists deep. And you're finding people who have like 200 monthly listeners, and you're just like, okay, some of it is crap, and maybe crap's a harsh word, right? But it's subjective, right? what is crap for me isn't crap for you. What is crap for you might be horrendous for me. Right? I think that's the beauty of it, is we're each going to like different things. And the fact that electronic music has so much to offer is a really great thing about it as well. You're going to hear a lot of stuff and it's going to be wildly different than the next. And you might hear some similar stuff, but there's just a lot out there. And you're not going to listen to it all. You're not going to be able to experience it all if you're just listening to Steve Aoki, David Guetta, who needs to retire. God bless his soul.
Dude, that's a whole other conversation. But yeah, as you said, it's like the core philosophy of find your treasures, listen to our trash. I mean, it's I think everyone, I think above the age of maybe 25, because again, I don't think electronic music was as popular until maybe 2014. But even then, it was known as the like Minecraft intro, and it still kind of is in a lot of circles, known as like the Minecraft intro type thing.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're right about that. It definitely is. It's definitely become a lot popular in the more recent years. But I mean, I remember when I was young, man, I'd get made fun of for listening to that stuff. You know, Deadmau5, Tiësto get made fun of just because it's not what everyone listened to. People listened to a lot of rap or hip hop back then and stuff like that. And you stand out a lot because you listen to something that's completely different. I don't even mean like the difference between techno and trance or like techno and house. I mean like it's a stark difference between electronic music and like rap or hip hop. It's a stark difference.
Absolutely. And
if people aren't used to it, obviously they're just gonna give you crap for it. So
no, yeah, and I think that like, especially with how dominant it's been, I mean, like, I honestly didn't really understand how big the whole like hip hop scene was until, you know, it fucking came out, like, you know, until I got to, like, I guess America, that I really noticed that everyone was like into it. Like, I always imagined it was like whatever was on the radio, because it's like kind of everything outside of like the little bubble that existed. But now it's a pretty big thing, and honestly it's interesting how it's kind of made its way into the general, like, what's the word for this, into the general like mix of songs coming out, just because mm-hmm. how influential it's been. And I think that this is something that I've noticed,
yeah,
on how, like, for example, all of the, well, a lot of, and this is like a mini tangent that I will mention, is how artists went from, like, especially like people, I guess like Porter Robinson and Pendulum and all of those people that were raised on stuff like Prodigy and more like rock-based people are kind of transforming into that. But that's a topic for, that's a different topic. It's definitely interesting how I believe that the how the new generation will more than likely be using more hip-hop influence stuff. Yeah. And I've kind of already started to notice it in a lot of modern releases that I'm going to use that word, especially from big artists. There's always a rap song in there, some form of beat in there. And it's honestly really interesting. I think that it's going to be more important than ever to find like smaller people that just want to make funny sounds.
Yeah. And I think it's also right, because that's also where the money is, like I said earlier. But I think it's also trying to get a group from a different niche and try and kind of slowly ease them into electronic music. I mean, it might happen. It might not. It probably won't, in my opinion, because again, difference is so stark, right? Rap and hip hop, you have different kinds of rap and hip hop, I'm sure, but it pales in comparison to electronic music. There's a whole iceberg of available subgenres under that umbrella that is probably deserves an episode of its own, because it's quite literally too much to talk about in one go. But yeah, I mean, you're definitely gonna see a lot more people using it. I mean, you see it in trap, funk, right? I don't mean like the cowbell funk. I mean like, I think more typical funk. I think it's called, I forget what it's called, but it has more roots in like Memphis hip hop and stuff like that. And that, I mean, there's like hip hop stuff, yeah, but it does blend the lines with electronic because you do have that like electronic trap beats that coincide with it. So it's like a bleeding of genres for sure. But you're definitely going to see, or we hope to see, a lot more smaller artists that stick to their niche, regardless of where the money's at, and actually create this wonderful art that they want to create, not just, well, I'm creating this because I think this is going to get me the most money.
No, I definitely agree, because especially since there's more ability to make money outside of the popular stuff, there's more opportunity for like expression. And I've seen this with people making their own worlds and their own stuff. Like, for example, the most recent one, and the one I've liked the most, was Nina Jirachi with her whole girl EDM thing, where all she does is just like make music that sounds that is made for women, but it still is really fucking good. Like the newest album, something I want to have a personal review for, just because it's like one of my favorite albums of the year.
Okay.
But you have your own artists like doing their own thing, like No Mana has his.
This dude keeps going in and out.
Yeah.
I know why it is, but you guys don't.
Yes. No Mana has his pixel thing going on. Space Laces has his apocalyptic thing going on. And like, these are all people that are able to stand and build their own communities through unique sound, instead of just making radio slop that will be popular on TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're 12 minutes in, and before we go on another conversation, I do want to actually properly introduce ourselves, because we should probably do that, because <Yeah. laughs> 12 minutes in, it was a really scuffed intro, right? I said we're all mentally ill, and that's how it started. And you're like, no, we're just going to roll with it. Like, oh, whatever, dude. So, I guess I can go first.
Yeah, you go first, man.
All right, so I'm Hyperoxia. I can't speak. And this is essentially, I'm just one half of the project. I was invited alongside this other dweeb on the voice call who will introduce himself eventually after I'm done. But I absolutely love trance music. I love techno music. And I've been listening for an undisclosed amount of years. I've been listening for a good while. And I was, let's just meme here and say I was indoctrinated from a young age to listen to it. And I absolutely could not be happier with the music choice I was bestowed, because I think it's such a deep ocean of music, right? Like, you've got music that has no lyrics, but that can convey such strong emotions regardless of what genre you're in and stuff like that, just based on sounds. And I think it's magical how that music does it. I'm bouncing back and forth. A bit more about me. I love Pokemon. I cannot shut up about it. I also love funny Japanese cars, especially the old ones. I also cannot shut up about that. I hope this mini introduction serves as a small guide to get to know me as the episodes go on. You might see me more. You probably will on the website. But I think this other dweeb is taking over for now. I think that's all for me for now. I'm going to hand it over to this other dumbass.
See, the problem is with trance is that only above 4-year-olds can do it, and the ones that are in 40 just call it hard techno.
All right, bro.
yeah, bro. I'm gonna catch that straight. I'm sorry, man. Anyway, in Ms. Hertz, I've been doing this, running this project for about almost 2 years. Invited this guy because he's like one of the best people to find new music in. Like, this guy can find the most insane things. But anyway, I've been listening to this for about a decade now. I mean, it's kind of been the only thing I listen to. So I'm kind of like an unfortunate elitist that just kind of became to it. Very addicted to sound design and like silly melodies. So like, well, this is like where the biggest gap is. I think he's more about, I don't know. It's very different. You will see it as the episodes go, but I'm definitely more about sound design, about cool melodies, and just discovering new sounds and new things that just stand out. And that's like my biggest thing. It's just finding the new, finding the unique, and finding crack. So yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's a crack for another thing he's addicted to, and Black Dot. Yeah.
It's a joke until it won't be, anyway.
Yeah. It's a joke until it stops being funny, in which case I'll actually start doing it.
Exactly. Anyway, all right. For the horrendous ear pain you will have after that one.
You guys got a decent introduction from Hertz. I gave you a bit about me, but a bit more personal and stuff.
I'm gonna be like that one character in the thing where you get like the backstory like 100 episodes in, and it'll be like a slowly dripped, and then like episode 200 you're just gonna get the whole lore and never talk about it again, and it'll be like the most mid lore you've ever been. You're gonna be like, what the fuck? This is what I waited 200 episodes for. Nah, we're running back.
I mean, you gave your whole philosophy, or you gave your personal interest with music and stuff. Like, I kind of just gave like a more personal thing, I guess, to humanize it, right? So that we don't just sound like two robots, or that we don't sound like friggin' AI, right? Like, it's a bit more human in that aspect.
I'm gonna go crazy.
What?
The prompt for this must be crazy, honestly.
Yeah. Dude, those server farms and like whatever the hell they are must be working overtime.
I definitely think that you have more of that. What's the word for this? You have more of that main character vibe to this. I'm just kind of yapping.
Main character vibe? What the hell is that supposed to mean?
Yeah, you don't worry. It'll make more sense as we go forward. But yeah, essentially that's kind of how we stand. Didn't really have any other plans for the episode other than to like introduction, talking about the philosophy and stuff like that. So I think that to give people a better idea of what they can expect to hear, I think we should go over the best artists we've heard the past week. I can't put top five of all time, because if you ask me tomorrow, it'll be like five different people. Maybe not five, but like definitely two or three will be switched around. Actually, no, let's do
it. I agree with that as well, but I think we should also include, let's say, maybe our most influential songs thus far, because I think it also helps kind of build the person behind the voice, right? Like, they'll get a deeper understanding and stuff like that. And through that, maybe they'll be able to understand, okay, like, obviously this person likes this song this much and stuff. So we can probably expect that they're going to like songs similar to this, or, you know, maybe they have their opinions about this person, and you can just break it down and that sort of stuff.
All right. So yeah, I think, let's do that. Let's do that.
I think maybe we should start with, maybe all-time artists.
Let's start with
our most all-time artists, and then maybe most influential song.
Yeah.
I think we should just give just one off the top of the dome.
Fuck, I can already give you like 20, dude.
Yeah, I could give you a couple as well.
All right, let's see. I'll start with, honestly, one that will forever be in the top three. It will be Echo.
Okay.
That is, if you don't know what Echo is, you gotta look him up. Maybe after the episode, write it down somewhere. Most unique duo. Whenever they separated, it was like the burning of the Library of Alexandria. It was the worst. It was the Roman Empire collapse.
That's what your 9/11?
That was my 9/11, essentially.
All right, okay.
So yeah, top, no, always, no matter what, no matter who comes out, man, they made the essence of what I believe electronic music should be. What about yours? So give me one of yours.
One of mine. Well, you already know which one it's going to be. I guess I could open that demon, or that, not demon, I could open up that bottle quick. Not probably, but it's definitely an unbiased decision. There's no bias here whatsoever. Disclaimer, it's full biased. Odessa. I think Odessa is a phenomenal duo. Grammy nominated artists, which not many artists get, especially in electronic music. I think it's only recently become what do you call it? It's only recently become like a category for the Grammys. But you have people who don't deserve to win winning in categories for electronic music, but that's a different conversation for a different time.
That I'm is going to be a whole episode, that, brother. Yeah.
That is going to be a rant and a half. But they've got this very sometimes warm, sometimes very ecstatic vibe. But it's also extremely orchestral. But at the same time, it's like confined to your headphones sort of thing as well. And I think they've got stuff that is easy listening. They've got stuff that's out there. They've got stuff that's just groovy. And instrument-wise, I think they do a phenomenal job of using instruments, creating sounds, telling a story through the sound design and all that sort of stuff. And I think that they're probably, in my opinion, one of the more influential or standout artists of this generation.
That's honestly very valid. I mean, honestly, it's surprising to see. This is something I want to like quickly talk about, like how you're going to maybe hear that a lot of our top picks are like duos. And this is something that I like want to talk more about how duos are just instantly peak.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's honestly very valid. I definitely think that Odessa has that special sound to it, and especially how they always go above and beyond to make live shows the most.
Above and beyond mentioned?
Sorry.
You can tell I'm like 80.
Odessa is one of them that really likes the craft. This is love of the game, because nobody else would do such insane things. The only gripe with it is that they just take a billion years to release like a singular song, so you just have to like,
that's fair. But then again, that means that every song, every album release is a labor of love, right? Everything is perfected and crafted to a level that is above the standard. I however think that they peaked a little too hard with A Moment Apart. That's a different conversation for a different time. I don't think anything they produce will get as good as that. I think A Moment Apart was the best thing they've ever created.
Okay. That's honestly very valid. That's very valid.
But then again, that's a tangent for a different one. A different day. Okay, so we did our most influential artists. Now, I guess that is subjective, right? And I think that maybe they'd want to hear our opinions on who we think objectively is the most influential artist of all, or thus far.
I don't think it's possible to answer
that. You don't think it's...
It's okay. Not possible to answer that. It's so splintered, and there's so much like random like pillars to go through. It's like, you know, the guy read this earlier about like, oh yeah, who was most influential before Deadmau5, and someone was like, oh, well, it was Eric Prydz, and you know, it's like, oh, fair enough. But like, Deadmau5 is like mostly known for house. Like, if you go to any rhythm fan and you tell them about Deadmau5, they're gonna look at you with a, what the fuck is that? I'm gonna give you like a
fair, but I mean, you can still answer the question somewhat, right? Because there are artists that, yeah, like you might ask a rhythm fan, they'd be like, who the hell is Deadmau5? But there are some artists that, regardless of what genre you listen to, they change the scene in general. They made waves in the scene regardless of what genre you listen to. It's like household names, right? Like, I mean, Avicii's up there. Swedish House Mafia's there, right? Like, those are names that, especially Avicii, right? Those are names that everyone knows. I mean, they made a freaking documentary about Avicii.
But I think those are mostly people that are responsible for breaking the stigma against electronic music and building it into a more, like, I would say mainstream. Like, it would brought a lot of mainstream attention and kind of started the trend of it being cool.
Yeah, because but that before... would be an influential artist, right? Because yes, they, and I would say that's sort of like a objectively, what is the word I literally just used? An objectively influential artist. They changed the music landscape to a point where it became normalized.
Okay, that's valid.
And I think even if you don't like, let's say, for example, Avicii, if you don't like his music, you cannot deny that what he did for the music scene was absolutely incredible. As you said, he broke that barrier and he made it mainstream. He made it essentially okay to listen to electronic music, right? And it became a worldwide phenomenon. His name is essentially a household name now. His music still gets played. It really is someone that like has stood the test of time, right?
Okay, valid. Honestly, brother, I don't have an answer for that, because like I could talk about, like, for some of my favorite genre, which is electro house. New Lore Bit, by the way, a new lore drop. That's way too many lore drops for one episode. Porter Robinson made that whole, like, he created the whole thing, right? Well, not the electro house thing, but like the complexro side of electro house. They created the whole thing, which obviously had like an amazing time in 2012 to 2016, where it just got replaced by like rhythm. Absolutely peak. Like, I don't think. But then again, you see it today, and then it's just like doing his own thing, which that's gonna be a whole other topic about, you know, how electronic music killed rock and rock is killing electronic music. It's kind of like this thing going on. But anyway, the whole point is that it's a very important thing to realize how much people have been involved in creating, because again, like as you said, Avicii was a very influential figure, but good to talk. Me, he was just a guy I heard on the radio, you know what I mean? Like,
all right, so what you guys don't hear is that he lives at a construction site and there's just a bunch of jackhammers just going off. There's cranes, you know, just beep, just loading up metal sheets onto the skyscraper above. You got people hitting the jackhammer and stuff like that. He got some mixtures going on. This guy's probably laughing even though he's muted. All right, yeah. So he's okay. I guess I'll take over. I guess, where were we? My computer just decided to fall asleep. Great.
Okay, hello. I think my Wi-Fi just crashed. Maybe
okay, interesting.
Should start paying the electricity bill.
Okay.
This is where all the money is going to be going, fellas. Whatever little money we make of this is going to go towards paying the electricity bill.
Oh, yeah.
So they can get out of this construction.
We got to make out the hood.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. For me, I guess to me, influential, personally, like, that have influenced my taste and have taken like milestones in listening, it definitely has to be Savant. That's the guy who like literally introduced genre, like in its fullness. No Mana, who broke a years long hatred for house music and just revealed how amazing it was. And probably, I think Silent. Silent was the one that showed me the wonders of sound design. And then, of course, Echol, who was like the perfect embodiment of what I love about electronic music. So I think those four are like my Mount Rushmore of people that like music.
Okay, so yeah, I guess that's your Mount Rushmore for your objectively influential picks. Mine's definitely going to be a lot more mainstream, I think. Objectively influential, I think Tiesto has to be up there, you know, ghostwritten or not. I think he has to be up there. Adagio for Strings, Traffic, Parade of the Anthems, Watching Sunrise, I think it's called. He's done music for movies, he still plays, he's got residencies and stuff like that. He, I think, was, in my opinion, the turning force of what helps kind of push electronic music forward, especially trance music and that sort of stuff, you know, some techno. His earlier stuff, for sure, it's huge. I mean, you go back and you look at stuff, and he's got songs from what, 16 plus years ago, and it just is, it's incredible. It's for me, he has to be up there. I would have to put Deadmau5 up there as well. Deadmau5 definitely, I think, it has to go up there. Like him or hate him, I think he definitely is one of the most influential artists of all time. I think what he's done with Progressive House, And pushing that sound, that idea that music doesn't just have to be a song, it can be a journey, right? It can tell a story. I think what he's done with that is incredible. And I mean, I Remember it's a song that's going to transcend time. Plain and simple. It's a song that'll never get old. It is going to be a certified classic. It's going to transcend time. I got about two more.
I want to add something to that. Dead Mouse is an amazing rage baiter.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Did you see Dylan Francis beef?
No, I've been disconnected. Okay. I just know that he knows how to rage bait. You know?
Yeah, no. He knows how to rage bait, yeah. It's also funny because, like, he's a very eclectic personality. There we go. And, you know, he had the Ferrari, which is a Ferrari 458 he wrapped in the Neon Cat wrap. Ferrari was like, hey, you know, you can't do this because it kind of damages the look of Ferrari. So he was like, all right, fuck you guys, I'm going to buy Lamborghini. He went to Lamborghini and they're just like, yeah, you bought the car. We don't give a shit. Do what you want with it. So he was like, all right, bet. And now he has a McLaren, I think, though. Anyways, he's an incredible rage baiter. He does what he wants. He doesn't really care. But he's got numerous influential tracks. Third, for me, is Avicii. I haven't listened to much Avicii just because it's not necessarily my cup of tea. However, I cannot deny that what he did for the music scene is incredible. It was huge, huge, huge for the scene.
Pause real quick. You haven't heard most of his stuff?
The popular stuff, yeah, but I don't listen to his discography.
Interesting. No, because there was this one time, maybe 2017, where I listened to his whole discography. Mm. He had some really unique things in there. I could really tell that there was definitely a lot of passion put into his music.
Mm.
Yeah, I definitely think that he had the perfect mix of making it good for the ear and also making it good for mainstream and also keeping that sense of discovery and sound on music. Like, for example, Waiting for Love, I think, was one of his best ones. I forgot which one it was. Waiting for Someone Like You, something like that. That was also really good. Like, he had a really good sense of energy and just rhythm. So I would definitely recommend listening to the discography, because there will be something you will like.
I mean, like I said, I listened to some other stuff for his, you know, I heard the popular stuff and that sort of stuff, but I haven't really done a deep dive into it just because, I mean, I've listened to some stuff, but it hasn't really been appealing for me, but I'll definitely do that. And it probably is kind of like crappy to like put them on my list and be like, oh yeah, no, I don't listen to them.
That's a pretty baller move, honestly.
But I'm saying from a standpoint, like, I mean, like I said, I don't necessarily listen to his stuff, but I cannot deny that he was an absolutely incredible, influential tsunami of a force that rushed through the music scene and put it on the map, essentially. I mean, you couldn't go anywhere where his stuff was not being played. This would be playing in the restaurants, supermarkets, right? It was played everywhere. My favorite song from him is what is it? Seek Bromance. That's under Tim Berg. That's under his Tim Berg alias. Great song. Melody wise, it's really good. As for my fourth pick. Interesting one. Interesting. You see, now my biased pick would be to put Odessa. That'd be my biased pick. But if I was not being biased, my fourth pick would have to be, I couldn't even tell who my fourth pick would be. I mean, my fourth pick would probably be Swedish House Mafia, because there was also a time where you'd go and you could not stop hearing that, right? You know, especially Don't You Worry Child. That was a global hit. That was huge.
I will say, though, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know if it was me, but I think it was one of like their weakest songs.
I think
Greyhound is one of their best songs.
Greyhound is good. Greyhound is good. But I think Don't You Worry Child is, even if you think Greyhound is better, you can't deny that Don't You Worry Child had a global presence.
I think that most songs after Don't You Worry Child sounded like half of like electronic music, what is this, like pop house, sounded just like Won't You Worry Child, like, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
like when you listen to a song you go, oh yeah, that sounds like that. That was literally what it was for me, and I think that that song was kind of responsible for my avoidance of house music for like a long time, because I was just like, oh, this is gonna be like Don't You Worry Child on repeat. Which again, very, very wrong and ignorant opinion, but you know, when you're just new, you kind of, and you're thrown in with the most intense sounds you can hear, everything else kind of becomes tame. But yeah, I don't know, Don't You Worry Child is like maybe down there. It's maybe down there.
Okay, interesting. I like how we said let's give a objective list, and it became something essentially subjective.
Yeah, sorry.
I can't wait to have everyone, I can't wait to have people listen to this, if they do, right? And go, objectively, you're wrong. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. You're stupid.
I want to have those. I'm just going to post this in Reddit and see how it goes, honestly.
What is this guy talking about? Swedish House of Mouse, or Dead Mouse, influential? Tiesto, influential? That's crazy. This guy's delusional. What?
No, I think I'll agree with you. I think if you say like Alan Walker was influential, I think that's when like people start having problems.
Listen, look, he's influential in his own regard. You can't deny that. But as for what it did for electronic music, I think Chesso's definitely up there. Avicii's for sure up there. Even if you don't listen to his stuff, you still can't deny the presence that he had on that stage. I think Swedish House Mafia is there. Deadmau5 is there. I guess those are my subjective picks for an objective answer.
Right? All right, that's valid. That's honestly valid.
Yeah, again, I can't wait to have people bitch at us for that. That'll be funny. But
hey, come at us, bro. Hey. I'll gladly argue about why you're wrong, I'm right, and that's it.
Hey, but what is it? Any publicity is good publicity. So, then I guess we could talk about our top artists of the past. You're going to call it the past. So we need the past month.
I'm going to say,
because the month is almost done. So you might as well call it the past month.
Dude, okay, fine. The past month, bro. Let's see.
Right. If it was like the first week of September, we could do the, or like second week of September, we could go the past week. But yes, it's okay, the fair. 29th.
All right, let's do Imanu, my boy Imanu, man, best guy for 100%.
Yeah.
Then we got Feed Me, my man's been releasing heaters for
Feed you what? Years. You gluttonous bastard.
A reason to keep going. Number God. Three is, hold up. Wait, pause. Let's see. Who have I been listening to a lot? I'm going to give Automob the number three favorite of the month, just because I've been revisiting his like old stuff. Dude, he was ahead of the curve like back in 2016, 2017. Mm. He made some really cool stuff. Number four is going to have to be, let's see, one second. Resident is a very interesting artist. I will say that their stuff is amazing. And then, yeah, I'm gonna say that's number five. Number five, I guess, is be, I don't know, bro. Let me come up with something. The first person
I see. Let me come up with something, he says. Let me just pull something on my ass and just give you guys a random answer.
Yeah. No, I think let's keep it with those four. Just Imanu, Feed Me, Resident, and I forgot what the third one was.
Oh my god. Oddmob.
Yeah. Oddmob, there you go. Yeah, there you go. So I'll keep that. What about you, man?
Top four. Okay, I'll do four as well. Now, if you listen to this, if you heard our previous topic about our quote-unquote subjective, most objective influential artists of all time, I listed, what, everyone mainstream? Get ready to hear people who you don't even know. You're going to go, what the fuck? Who is that? These people are decently just fucking nothing.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. You guys are gonna have no fucking idea what I'm talking about. Number one. What would number one be? Okay, let me go through this quick. Let's see, number one.
As you can tell, we did not prepare for this at all. We're just raw dogging this.
Why in God's green earth will we prepare for this? Just stuck on our asses, right? God, yeah. So. Number one would have to probably be, just if we're going based on just how many times I played it, would probably be The Chronix. Would be The Chronix, dude.
You like N-E-C-R-O-N-I-X?
C-H-R-O-N-I-C-S. The Chronix.
Okay, I mean, alright, well, have fun looking that up.
Yeah. The Chronix, yeah. And then two would probably be... What's another good one, man? Two might be, strictly speaking, dude. This is a tough list. This is... I'm like, damn, this guy took a while. Now I'm taking... too long. Okay, let me just start crapping on names, right? So we got one, we got Chronix. Two would probably be Akiora / Lanone. That duo, I think they do a phenomenal job. Let's move Akiora Lanone up to number one. The Chronix would be second. Third would be, I've been this a lot lately. Third would be Cult Member.
Cult Member?
Which is the the funny scooter video song.
I'll put a link to it in the bottom.
Yeah. And then four would probably be Systems.
Okay. That's honestly a very respectable peak. Honestly, Systems is like one of those people that I like found in the like a couple of years ago, and they I don't know how they release so much in so little time. Like, bro is a fucking machine.
Yeah, and a lot of it's, you know, same thing with Deadmau5. It's that progressive house, and a lot of the songs tell a story, but their sound design is incredible. I think my favorite song from Systems is. God, what is it called, man? Will I find it before it's too late, or will I just be dead silent? Honesty as a means to dissociate. Incredible song. Yeah, I've listed people who you probably haven't heard. I mean, you guys might have heard of Cult Member, right? Because Cult Member's making the rounds on social media. Their music is getting used on almost every single reel, every single TikTok, every single thing like that you see. And I think it's for good reason. The music is incredible. A lot of good sound design there, I think. A lot of good sounds in general. It's like just crunchy enough to make it sound like it's vintage, but not too crunchy to where you're like, okay, this guy fucked his rendering or his mastering. It's like just enough. It sounds really kind of like Y2K. Sort of thing, and I think that's probably why it's been making rounds, because there's a huge resurgence in that Y2K culture. But the music's incredible. It's incredible from Night Drives, incredible if you're just chilling out at night or whatever. If you haven't gone for a night drive, listen to Cult Member, do it. You will not be disappointed. Akio and Lennon, that duo, the past two EP/albums have been incredible. Like, it's incredible what they do. It's, that duo is destined to be something good, I think. And then the Chronics. Honestly, you could interchange the Chronics with Pagan or the Loniel. Either one of three of them, because they have music on the same compilation, and each song is incredible. Which you might see a write-up on the website about. Who knows?
And subscribe to the newsletters. I'll put a link in the bottom.
Yeah, or just Dox Hertz.
Don't do that yet.
He says yet. Don't actually do that because it's illegal. Okay, so what else do we have to talk about? Okay, let's go through my top four. Okay, so for my first one, I said I've been listening to a lot of Lennon and Akior, that duo. I think it's an incredible duo. They don't have a specific name yet. They're just credited as both. But they've released two albums and one EP under the same name, or under the credited both. And they've done work in the past. They've done work before the official collaboration and before Lennon had a name change due to a very interesting circumstance, right? We can just say that this person was young and dumb. But as for the newest album, I think Death Wishes. Don't give them ideas now. Anyways, I guess it's separating art from the artist, right? Regardless, I can't deny that person makes great music. Anyways, Death Wish, I think, is a phenomenal song. I think probably, honestly, might be their best work. However, their earliest, or one of their earlier collabs, titled VXZDUH, don't know how the fuck you're supposed to pronounce that, is more like funky, right? But it's good. It's really good. And I probably put that as like their second best song, but Death Wish is definitely up there. As for the three interchangeable artists in Pagan, the Chronics, and the Loniel, I can just tell you that Somebody Else by Delaniel is an incredible song, and you will find that off of, what is this, Ross Summer Hits 4, which is released in 2023. Okay. You will also find Luz by The Chronics, which is legit the song just before Somebody Else. That is also an incredible song. And you will also find Real Love by Pagan, which is on that same comp, which is another really great song. And I've gone through about half of their discographies. Those three I listed, you'll find on the same comp, which is Ross Summer Hits 4. And it's probably their best songs, respectively. Okay. Systems, I think Falling Against You is a really good song. The Angels Weep for Your Sins is also a good song and a great title. But I think it has to go to Honesty as a Means to Disassociate. I think that's his best song. Senses is close, but I think really it goes to Honesty as a Means to Disassociate. And who did I say was my number four?
I think you said, holy crap, dude, honestly?
Cult Member. Lamar Cult Member. Cult Member, yeah. And Cult Member. Let's see, Cult Member, You Weren't Here, I Really Miss You is a song that makes the rounds a lot, but it's a slowed version. Just listen to the normal version. It's good. It's not my favorite, though, but it's good. Fantastic Life is another song that you'll hear a lot from him, or from them. That, I think, is their best song. Fantastic Life is incredible. It has a catchy beat, it sounds really good, and it really, like, just paints a Y2K vibe. It's just so damn good.
Okay, I think it's a very respectable
nobody list. Asked for your opinion, dude. Shut up.
I'm sorry. But this is like how the interactions are gonna go, honestly. This is like standard interaction 101. So, you know, I would say that you mentioned something very interesting with the whole separate the art from the artist. Some people nowadays are making it really fucking hard to do that, man.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think it's not electronic music, but look at Kanye, right? With his whole recent album and his postings on Twitter or whatever, his appearances. I've seen comments, people are like, but he made Graduation. How are you on, like, jokes aside, how can you honestly continue to defend that person? If they made him, you know, if they made a mistake once or twice, they fucked up, whatever, right? We're human, we fuck up. But it's like, this person's doing it on purpose. Kanye's, or my bad, Ye, right? Because he changed his name. He's doing it on purpose. Like, at this point, he doesn't give a shit anymore. He just wants that.
We don't even know.
He wants that exposure.
But no, I'm sorry. Like, I don't know if you've known about this David guy. I only recently, like, again, I knew about this guy. Like, I someone recommended me to him in, like, August 28th. And, like, 5 days later, or, like, 10 days later, bro has, like, a dead person in the trunk of his car. And it's just this whole fucking situation.
That, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, I was like, what are we talking about? Like, who is this person? And I looked it up and I was like, oh. And then apparently he sang about this person beforehand.
Oh yeah, it's
she was
honestly
underage when he was singing about her. It's, oh yeah, it's convoluted. And it's just like, bro. It's like, at that point, he needs to get his music taken off of streaming sites. Like, don't just boycott and listen to, like, get that shit off, dude. Again, separating the art from the artist and stuff like that. But there's just, there are some people who make it really hard, like you said.
No, but yeah, it's honestly really hard because at best, he is a PDF file. At worst, he's a murderer. So it's like, there's no winning, man. You can't get out of that one.
Yeah. It's, I mean, that's like prison for life, regardless.
Yeah, no, it's definitely...
Because, look, whichever one is true, right? I guess it depends on what state you're in. But I think most states are... You know, if you're in the U.S., most states, I think, are... If you murder, that's life in prison. If he's a murderer, he's going to die in prison because of life in prison. And if he's the latter, he's going to die in prison because people are going to kill him if they find out what happened.
Oh, no, it's definitely rough. It's definitely rough. But
so, it's... you know, that sort of situation. Could you really separate the art from the artist?
It's a bit rough now when the art is literally, you know.
Yeah, especially, like I said, like apparently, I don't know how true it is, I don't listen to the music, but apparently one of the songs references the person he killed. So it's like, can you really defend the artist, if the art is, essentially, if the art is a confession?
Well, you know, as they say, man, the best music comes from the heart, and, you know, comes from real experiences. But hey, man,
but anyway, I know
this is all still like everyone's still doing allegedly. I guess you gotta wait until bro is in bars to really confirm anything. And you know, this is a very funny way to start the episode, just fucking dragging people.
Yeah,
it's a very interesting thing. Now, obviously, we would like to do a bit more music analysis. Unfortunately, I don't know how that's gonna work, considering that we have to figure out the copyright stuff with that music, especially like bigger artists. I'm sure smaller artists are like fine with people just going like, oh wow, this is pretty cool, but yeah
but I mean, like look at Jode, right? Like he did the review for I'm Gone, or was it the album? Whatever album drawer I did.
Wait, who?
The guy I sent you, the German guy. He did the review for Joyride's album.
Interesting. Yeah, no idea. No, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, you should know. I sent you this. It's a darker German guy.
Oh, okay. I remember. Yeah. Okay.
He was just playing the music on his stream, I think.
I think YouTube is definitely a bit different than Spotify podcasting, though. Because I think we're going to put this in that. But anyway, we're almost reaching at the hour. So I would say this was a pretty packed, I think this is a pretty solid introduction, full of it's going to be kind of similar going forward, honestly. I think it's like the same formula. I think this is a pretty solid formula. I'm going to put all the links to everyone that we recommended and all the songs, as well as this link to sign up. Please sign up for the newsletter. This is where you're going to get a daily song. Usually really good stuff. It's handpicked from either Hyperoxys or I's collection, which is spanning decades and ever growing from just like a billion hours of listening, essentially.
I have 14K songs saved on my phone. Probably have more. Probably have like five times that.
No, it's definitely rough.
Okay.
I think just in my phone is like 10K. And that's like without counting the other 11K that are like lost somewhere in a USB. It's insane.
Okay. That's fun.
So yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of stuff in there. Definitely a lot more rambles if you enjoyed this type of content or just ramble about music. We'll have a lot more topics about music. This is like just the intro about just introduction.
Yeah, hopefully it wasn't too off the rails.
I think it's the best ones, honestly. I think having order in the first, I think order is like when you start getting to like 50 episodes and then you do it for like 5 episodes, you go, yeah, fuck this shit. It sucks. It just started going off the rails.
I mean, there's still good to have some sort of, what's it called? Some sort of, guideline, right? So that you stay on topic and that you don't have long awkward pauses and that sort of stuff. But I think the topic should be not too focused, a bit broad, so that it opens up the ability to segue in and have discussion outside of the topic. But you definitely need some sort of planning. But I think for a first episode, off the rails completely, I think is the best bet, because it's just like, okay, well, you know what you're in for. There's no surprises. You know what you're in for. You're going to get an off-the-rails conversation about music, and we're occasionally going to rant about other stuff, right? But for the most part, it'll be about music. And hopefully, we'll have a lot more in-depth talks about music, and hopefully we'll get this music thing sorted out, where... best case scenario, you'll be able to listen to at least a snippet of it alongside of us. Worst case, you'll have to listen to it on your own, and you'll just have to listen to what we feel about the song and discussion based on it or other albums.
Pretty much. So I would say that...
You'd say? All right, what you guys don't see is that the cartel have broken into his house and demanding payment immediately. That's why he has to mute. The cartel came in guns blazing. Demanding payment, all that sort of stuff. So this might be the first and last episode with Hertz, because what the cartel might do to him, it might hurt. Huh?
I hate you.
I'll be here all week, man. Come on. He unmuted just to tell me he hates me. Crazy work.
So yeah, I hate you also because you recommended like 20 songs and I have to manually find every single one of them.
I'll send you the list. I'll send you the list. That's fine.
All right. Let's do it. But okay. This was... I don't even know. I don't have a name for it yet. We're just going to call it Dumpster Delicacies. We'll change the name at some point and it'll be like a big tweak out. You know, it'll be like 10 episodes on the line, we're just gonna be like, hey, this is gonna be named this now, and everyone's gonna be confused, and it's gonna be very funny. We won't even tell you when it's gonna happen. This is gonna happen.
Yeah. Really funny. I guess this episode is like episode zero, right? The first initial start. The first taking that step into actually doing it.
Yeah, pretty much. So, any last things you want to say?
Besides, you know, check the site. We already have a lot of content there for you to explore already. And again, content that comes daily, or we try our best to make it as daily as possible, you know? But there's already a lot of content there. There's years in reviews. There's album reviews. Again, there's just a lot of content, a lot of music to find already. So if you're interested in finding music and maybe not interested in waiting, just go over to the website, you know, sign up. It's free. We've also made it incredibly easy to unsign up if you wanted to. If you didn't like the content, you got sick of it, stuff like that. I think you'd have to correct me if I'm wrong, but it's a one-click
unsubscribe. Yeah,
you can unsubscribe. Just go to
the bottom of the email, unsubscribe, and you know,
it'll really be easy.
When you
but
sign
with
up,
that access,
you
get.
Also get
I was talking over me crazy work.
Nothing, but when you sign up, you will also get a playlist that will probably include a lot of the core songs that we discussed in this episode. So it'll be like kind of meta.
Yeah. I think you'll also eventually get access to a secret curated playlist where it's a bunch of super underground stuff, but stuff that we believe is at the top. It's at its peak. It's absolutely incredible in terms of sound design, atmosphere, and yeah. I think I speak for both of us when I say that we hope that you enjoy this journey with us and hope that you embark on it with us, because it's a whole sea of electronic music to explore, and you're honestly doing yourself a disservice if you just stick to one genre. You're not going to like every genre, but at least give it a chance, and I'm sure you'll find something magical in between.
I think that's a very solid way to put it. Yeah. That's why our next episode is Why Rhythm Will Be the Worst Genre That Ever Been Existed.